You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
How does the music of Leonard Cohen still influence you today?
Oh, gosh. I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed not to be in some way influenced by Cohen, because it's in our everyday music. We just don't realise it. So many wonderful songwriters have been inspired by and impressed by Cohen. And I think his lyrics are just incredibly powerful and incredibly poignant for what's going on right now in society. They seem to be evergreen when it comes to the messages that he wrote about, and the things that were concerning him still very much ring true today, unfortunately.
I have a friend who must have seen Leonard Cohen more than a dozen times, but sadly, I never caught him once. What about you?
Neither. Never got to see him live. I wish I had. It would have been quite the experience, I'm sure. And I think, you know, just listening to him speak would have been quite powerful. That's one special thing about Cohen Noir, is there's a lot of interjections from the man himself. There's recorded moments of him speaking on subjects, and he was quite deep but also quite funny, and just to hear his voice is really powerful.
I have a feeling you've been introduced to the world of Monsieur Camembert because of the venue Quirks in The Hunter. Is that accurate?
I think you would be right. Yes. We actually had an open mic night there one night, and I was hosting a few of them for the local acts around the place in the Hunter Valley, and Huron got up to sing because, you know, he's fantastic, and he couldn't think of a song, or someone yelled out Hallelujah. I can't remember which way it came around, but I ended up singing it with him, and he looked at me and he goes, "So you know Cohen, maybe you should do the State Theatre," and that's how it happened. It wasn't anything other than just so happened to be there in that moment and sang that song, and he realised that country singers also like Cohen, you know.
I love those moments of musical serendipity. So last year was your first ever State Theatre debut. Did it live up to your expectations?
Oh, far beyond. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, to be quite honest. It was quite new to me, the whole way it was put about. I know that I think they've celebrated their 20th anniversary or something recently. I know it's been around a long time, but I had never actually experienced it before. And to be a part of a band like that is, they're just incredible musicians. And that in itself, I would find myself standing there side of stage just watching these fantastic violinists, or the horsehair violin or a harp being played by somebody, and thinking, oh my gosh, these instruments are so special, and it's just so special to be witnessing it, you know.
It would be remiss of me not to congratulate you on your new album, Lynn.
I really
love I Don't Want to Stay. Can you just tell us a little bit about what went into that collaboration?
Well, yeah, I Don't Want to Stay is a song that came about because I was running a she songwriting retreat, and my dear friend Kate Ballantyne, who was in Bella, came along as one of the attendees. And I wasn't really sure how it would go because I didn't know what she would think of the whole thing and if she would like it. And, you know, the pressure's on when a mate comes. You think, oh, gosh, I wonder if they like this. I wonder if it's going to be great for her or if it's not really her thing. And she loved it. And I actually drew her out of the hat to write this. So that was pretty cool. And we wrote this song together. She had some fairly mournful ideas on her phone from when she'd been feeling very lonely and missing her husband, because he works night shift and she works days as a teacher, so they weren't seeing each other very much. And I said, well, what if we kind of approach it slightly differently? And then I played that, you know, Marvin Gaye kind of vibe to her, and she loved it. So the song just flowed from there, and we finished it within an hour. We talked for about an hour and a half, I think, beforehand. And then when it came to recording it, it felt like a Bella song. Bella is a group that I was in that we did some pretty fantastic things in our time back in the early 2000s. Had a great record deal, and we travelled around a lot. So it just felt fitting to invite Karen O'Shea to come into the studio and sing it with us, and just so much fun to actually be in the same studio we'd recorded our own album, Gravity, all those years ago. So that was pretty powerful.
it must have a very similar feeling coming back again then to play with these same group of musicians for these annual concerts with the Monsieur Camembert and Cohen Noir. Lastly, can you let us know what songs you'll be performing on the night?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to let you know.
Oh, but it's a surprise. Surprises are good. I like that too,
I'm
Lynn.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a surprise or not. I guess it may not be. One of the ones I'm really, I must say, very excited to be a part of is the anthem. And that involves, I think, a 50-piece choir for State Theatre, which is fairly powerful.
That's right. So Yaron's been doing call-outs online for people to come and join this choir. So we do have an inkling that there's a special choral performance.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And also the other one I'm doing is it's a cappella, but it features Ben on the fiddle, who is a monster. There's no other way to describe the man. He's just the most incredible, superb fiddle player I've ever seen. It's pretty exciting to be doing something a cappella and featuring him at the front and the back of the piece. It's really, really powerful. So, yeah, and then, of course, you know, we're doing a lot of group songs together, which is lovely. And, you know, it's just one of those experiences that goes really fast because you're having such a good time.
Yeah. You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.